Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Each year, critics and moviegoers make a show of combing through the list of Academy Award nominees to determine who got snubbed. That's all well and good and often quite entertaining. But we at Word of Mouth have been thinking for some time now that there are entire categories that get the cold shoulder from the Oscars. And it's about time we talked about them. So we asked Amy Diaz, movie reviewer and editor of The Hippo, to join us for what we are calling the WAMIs, an unauthorized celebration of achievements that go uncelebrated at the Oscars. And Amy, a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks. I feel like I should ask you who you're wearing.
I'm wearing my pajamas. I'm so glad you were game for this. It's such a fun exercise. And you were kind enough to come up with a fantastic list of categories and nominees for the WAMIs. So let's start with the award for Best Voice Acting. First of all, why does this deserve to be part of the Oscars?
Well, you know, why not? Honestly, there have been years recently where I felt like the pool of best animated films have been stronger than the pool of best films. So, you know, we recognize the actors in the best films. Why not recognize the people in the animated films? It's a slightly different kind of acting, too. You know, mm-hmm. what they're bringing to the movie, what they're bringing to the part. So I think it's worth some recognition.
So let's hear some of the nominees for Best Voice Acting.
So I had, this category is Lego Movie and Guardians of the Galaxy heavy, I'll admit. So from the Lego Movie, Chris Pratt, Will Ferrell, and Morgan Freeman. From Guardians of the Galaxy, Bradley Cooper and Vin Diesel. And then from Box Trolls, which I think is actually nominated, Elle Fanning, who played this great little girl character that was kind of a classic storybook little girl. She's, you know, adventurous but bossy and kind of ghoulish. And I loved the character.
Well, I like that you brought up the Lego Movie, which, of course, notably did get snubbed. Let's hear a clip.
Relax, everybody. I'm here.
Batman!
What's up, babe?
Babe!
What?
Oh, sorry. Batman. This is Emmett. Emmett, this is my boyfriend, Batman.
I'm Batman.
That's your boyfriend?
Hey, babe.
What?
Let's hold hands.
Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, and Will Arnett's voices there from the Lego Movie. Do you think that this category should also include CGI motion capture performances?
You know, I think that maybe deserves to be its own thing. And it could be one of those things where they do it in the years where they have it. Or they could just give it to Andy Serkis every single year, and that would also work. You know, he did a great job this year in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And that was almost not even voice acting because there wasn't a whole lot of voice in what he was doing for that role. You know, there was a little bit. So I think it definitely, it's another kind of acting. It's a thing we're going to see in movies a lot. You know, we saw it in several movies this year. So I think, why not kind of give them some praise? You know, I was listening to Fresh Air recently and heard Benedict Cumberbatch talk about what he did to play Smaug the dragon in the Hobbit movies. There's a lot that goes into it.
Well, I was also thinking of last year, Scarlett Johansson in the film Her. You know, she was this disembodied computer voice. Did a fantastic job.
She did. And you know, those are, again, they're really important performances to the movies, but they don't fit in the traditional, you know, actor, supporting actor kind of sections.
All right. So the next big category that you're suggesting an Oscar should be awarded for is casting. Why casting?
Well, you know, casting, or you could call it ensemble or best cast. Just, you know, when a movie gets a group of people, not just one great actor and everybody else, but, you know, a group of people who all kind of bring a little something to it, it's really magical. And, you know, there were definitely some movies this year that were great because of each of the characters, not just one great performance, but everyone brought a little something that made it the movie it was.
Okay, so what are your nominees for best casting in a motion picture?
So my picks would be Whiplash, Guardians of the Galaxy again, the Lego Movie again, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, which to me is all cast. That's what makes that movie what it is.
Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman. I
Woody
actually
Harrelson.
Scratched my head wondering what they were doing in that film.
You know, and here's the thing. While I was watching it, I realized I don't actually care about the main plot or the love triangle, very tepid love triangle between Jennifer Lawrence and her two male love interests. I just was delighted to watch Woody Harrelson, Natalie Dormer, all these really strong actors
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci. And then my other pick, and I think this is the quintessential one for this year, was Gone Girl. Hmm. This one I thought was one where every person in this movie did a really fantastic job and brought a little something. You're never probably going to hear me say this. This is the first time I've certainly ever said this, but Tyler Perry should have been nominated for an award.
He played this kind of like money-grubbing lawyer, or let's say aggressive, famous lawyer. He was terrific.
And brought like this note of very sharp humor and was completely unexpected and was fantastic. Ben Affleck, I thought, was great because the movie kind of used not just his strengths as an actor, but all of his weaknesses to help create this character. I would totally sign up for the TV show that is just Kim Dickens and Patrick Fugit, who played the detectives investigating the crime. I would watch the show where they just investigate stuff. That was great. They were fantastic.
You don't know if she has friends. You don't know what she does all day. And you don't know your wife's blood type.
Sure, y'all are married.
I maybe it's typo.
Where are her folks? New York?
Yeah.
Can they get here in time for this press conference tomorrow?
Tomorrow? I have no idea. I haven't talked to them.
You haven't called your wife's parents
yet? I mean, you can't get a signal in this building. I've been in here talking to you.
Well, call them, please, Nick, now.
Fine. Should I know my wife's blood type?
Okay, so that is Gone Girl, one of Amy's nominees for Best Casting in a Motion Picture in the WAMIs, our new awards. Okay, so Guardians of the Galaxy comes up again. Lego Movie comes up again. We actually spoke to Oscar-nominated actor John C. Reilly last week. He had a bit role in Guardians of the Galaxy. And since we had him on the phone, asked him if he thought there were any categories missing from the Oscars.
This age-old thing that, you know, actually sang about in the Oscars with Will Ferrell and Jack Black, this idea that comedy somehow should be acknowledged in some way. But, yeah, I honestly don't spend too much time thinking about awards. But I'd rather think about actually doing work. But if I was the king of the Oscars, I would say absolutely a voiceover award, a cast award, and some type of acknowledgement of the comedy world.
Actor John C. Reilly there advocating for several new categories at the Oscars, and he apparently thinks very much like my guest, Amy Diaz. She is the movie reviewer and editor of The Hippo, and we're celebrating achievements that should be in the Oscars but are not. So, Amy, he brought up this age-old comedies at the Oscars problem. What do you think there?
Well, you know, and I would love to watch the Oscars where he was king of the Oscars. That would be great. Because he's totally right. Comedy gets no respect at all. And a successful comedy, especially if it's a successful comedy that kind of hits on different levels, you know, it's lots of people find it funny, but it also has these smart moments. That is so much harder than, you know, the dramatic story that's maybe just a biopic about someone important and you put some swelling music behind it. Some of those are really good, too. But comedy is so hard, and that it gets so little respect is unfortunate, because those are oftentimes the movies that we love.
Well, the next category for the WAMIs is Best On-Screen Duo. Now, is this a romantic pairing or any pair of performers eligible?
I think it could be any pair of performers. And, you know, I didn't include this on my list, but another great example is a Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum from 22 Jump Street. The energy of those two guys together. I mean, that was the perfect pairing. You make that movie with any two other people, I don't know that it's as fun or as silly or as kind of meta and smart as it is with those guys. They just do such a good job and have so much chemistry. So,
who are your other nominees for Best Duo?
You know, I think Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike, which I guess they would be romantic for some of that movie, and then for some of that movie, highly antagonistic, and yet they still have a great chemistry, and that kind of what they're doing works together really well. Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt, who really just, for Edge of Tomorrow, which the last time I was here, I told everyone to run out and see it. Go see it again if you saw it then. It's just so much fun. And they have a really great relationship that characters do that kind of just skirts the edge of romance but doesn't completely go there. So mostly you're watching this really tough girl and this kind of wimpy guy who kind of reluctantly is made a hero. And it's a great pairing that you wouldn't expect. Oh, and then Colin Firth and Nicole Kidman in The Railway Man. And I have to admit, what I loved about them is they're age appropriate. They are two people of roughly the same age, kind of the same age as the characters they play, and they look great together. They're like normal middle-aged people. Well, you know, normal middle-aged movie star people.
Yeah, they're pretty good-looking normal people.
But for Hollywood, that's as good as it gets. It's, you know.
Let's hear just a clip from The Railway Man. This is Colin Firth and Nicole Kidman. The film is not at all represented at the Oscars this year. Never mind, in the duo category.
So I'm going to go up as far as Maleg by train, and then I'm catching the coach to Inverness and coming down the other side. What do you think?
The West Coast is extraordinarily beautiful. You might well fall in love with it.
And if I were to fall in love, what then?
Well, instead of a coach to Inverness, you might consider taking the line back to Tindrum and changing for Oban. And from there, you can get any number of boat trips. Iona, Staffa. It's very romantic. You romantic?
Oh, sounds romantic to me. Now, Amy, I'm wondering, do you not think that on-screen duo would kind of, I don't know, make the Oscars a little bit more like the MTV Movie Awards? I mean, borderline cheesy.
Sure. Absolutely. And yet, you know, it is one of those things you see, especially in romantic comedies, you can see it go wrong so many times. It is not an easy thing to get right, to get two people who can have good chemistry, whether you're talking about romantically as like buddies, even as, you know, kind of villain and hero, you know, Whiplash. I would say that Miles Teller mm-hmm. and J.K. Simmons, great duo, the way those two characters kind of play off of each other. Any other pair of actors, I don't know that they would have brought the same heat to that.
I'm thinking Ethan Hawke and L.R. Coltrane in Boyhood. I mean, there are scenes together
Absolutely.
As father and son that were just terrific. And we were also discussing back at the WOM pod, Ray Fiennes and Zero, the character of Zero in Grand Budapest Hotel. They were
yes.
sort of accomplices.
Again, just the way they interact brings something else to the movie.
Okay, so on to our next category, Best First Film. So what, Rookie Award?
Yeah, you know, kind of. I think that there is something to be said for praising people kind of right there at the beginning of their career. You know, somebody, one of the people that gives out awards does it as breakthrough. So you could kind of do it as not maybe the very first film. I tried to pick people where this was their first feature film. But if you maybe pick it as their first big film, then you could get someone like an Ava DuVernay, who I think Selma is her third feature
right,
film.
But
really her first breakthrough
as a director.
One. Exactly. And so, you know, my picks were Obvious Child, Gillian Robespierre. I think this was her first big feature. Dear White People, very smart, from writer-director Justin Simien. Just a really smart and funny look at kind of identity politics and how a lot of people don't fit into identity politics. And that's actually just available on streaming. So finally, you know, kind of everyone can see
it.
Oh,
I'm dying to see that.
It was so smart and so kind of sweet, too. And then St. Vincent, which I've often said, you know, if it weren't for the prostitutes and the strippers, it could be a family film. A very sweet film with Bill Murray. You know, he plays a very curmudgeonly guy who starts taking care of a neighbor boy reluctantly, but he needs the money. And it's sort of sweet to watch their relationship develop. Again, another example of a great duo.
All right, let's go. I'm going to make dinner. You can do homework.
Oh, I already ate.
Stop mowing. You're mowing dirt. Let's go.
He's fed. The homework's checked. I've done my job. I'm taking a break.
Why is he mowing your dirt patch?
Oh, yeah, he's paying me hourly.
I'm showing him how the world works. You work, you get paid, you drink.
Are you drinking alcohol?
Here's one that I did not realize was not a category, and this is Best Soundtrack. I mean, don't we already have that?
Well, we have. So Best Original Song, which means it has to be a new song for that movie, which is why a lot of times you'll get musicals that have moved from the stage to the screen and they add a new song, because that can be nominated, but not the songs that have been part of the musical for many years. And then there's a score. So, you know, the lovely music that swells when the king gives a speech or whatever. You know, those are categories, but there's no category that really praises the, you know, compiling of pre-existing music that sort of shines a light on when that is done really well. A really classic example is T-Bone Burnett, who put together the soundtrack for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that
and
was...
And so many others. He's a great, great compiler.
Absolutely. And has a reputation for being able to really pull together a great mix of songs that helps to tell the story and becomes a part of the movie. You couldn't imagine that movie without those songs. They're so interlaced.
Mm-hmm. So how about for this year?
For this year, I was thinking Book of Life, which is a great little animated movie and kind of brings a Mexican folk music twist to, you know, things like there was a song by Mumford and Sons, the song Creep. Boyhood, which did a really great job of matching songs to an era.
Yeah.
And you could almost figure out, remember when it was based on the song that was playing. I think it starts out with a Coldplay song from like the late 90s, early aughts.
And I remember the character, the little girl singing Britney Spears.
Exactly. And it so perfectly places it. That's when that was. Begin Again. And actually one of the songs from that movie is nominated because it was a brand new song. But music plays such a huge part throughout that movie. And then Chef, which was the Jon Favreau movie. And that movie does a great thing where it kind of gives you music connected to each of the cities where you're also seeing the food. Mm-hmm. So as they're making these very mouthwatering Cubanos in Miami, they're also listening to Cuban music. When they were in Louisiana, there was this great scene that had sort of a second line band version of Sexual Healing. Mm-hmm. It was just such a smart use of music. Again, you couldn't almost think of that movie without the way that they use the music.
No, and you're also talking to a big sort of cross-cultural mix there. And that's one thing it sounds like the Wammies have going for them. They're not quite as white as the Oscars.
Yay, Wammies!
Well, let's hear it for the Wammies and for Amy Diaz for playing the game. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Amy Diaz reviews films for The Hippo. She's also the editor of The Hippo. And we'd like to know what you think. Are there any categories that you find missing at the Academy Awards? Do you have suggestions for nominees that you think we let slip through the cracks? Well, we are open to hearing it. Let us know at facebook.com/wordofmouthradio. And while you're there, please make your vote count for this year's WAMI Awards. We're going to announce the winners on Thursday the 19th, just before Oscar weekend.
Everyone deserves a chance to walk with everyone else.
And we're going to stay on the red carpet and revisit a film that was nominated for 5 Oscars and won 4, including Best Picture. Annie Hall's influence on the romantic comedy genre. That's when Word of Mouth continues.
And her night out on the weekend. And we can win.